This message comes from NPR sponsor Rosetta Stone, an expert in language learning for 30 years. Right now, NPR listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership to 25 different languages for 50% off. Learn more at rosettastone.com/NPR.
This is World Cafe. I'm Raina Duris. Trepanation, or trepanning, is a surgery that involves boring a hole into the skull. It's one of the oldest known surgical procedures and was used as a medical intervention, but it was also used in ritual to help free people from their demons or even turn someone into a warrior. And perhaps that's why the phrase "hole in my head" was such a powerful one for Laura Jane Grace. Grace, who founded and fronted punk rock band Against Me, is transgender. And a few years ago, she had facial feminization surgery. The title of her new album, "Hole in My Head," came from a question her daughter asked her before she underwent the procedure. So there's a literal element to it. But Grace has always written raw, urgent, often autobiographical songs with the intensity of someone who needs to release the pressure, or even sometimes the demons, inside her head. And as one of the first highly visible punk musicians to publicly transition and go on to be an activist for transgender people, as well as speaking openly on many political causes, you could argue that she is also a kind of warrior. Coming up, Laura Jane Grace and I talk about her life, her music, and her new album, Hole in My Head. And you'll hear her perform songs from it live, starting with Keep Your Wheels Straight. It's Laura Jane Grace, live for the World Cafe.
Live for the World Cafe, you just heard Keep Your Wheels Straight, a song that grabbed me right away from Laura Jane Grace's new album, Hole in My Head. I'm Raina Duris. Laura Jane Grace is my guest today. Welcome back to the World Cafe.
Thank you for having me.
And we are in person this time. Last time we were on Zoom.
We are. It's much better to be in person.
So much better. It was back when no one could go anywhere. And I know that it was a lonely Christmas kind of during that time that you wrote that song that we just heard. You had COVID. You were boarding up the windows, hibernating, listening to Elliott Smith, it sounds like, from the lyrics of that song.
I was.
All great things to do for your mental health. but you do have that line in there, keeping the faith, everything will be okay. And now here we are.
Here we are.
And I know you've had a lot going on in the last little while.
Yeah.
You got married. Paris Campbell, your wife, was singing backgrounds on the song that we just heard. You also moved into a new house. Congratulations.
Thank you.
How are you feeling? How's everything going?
It feels good. I mean, like, it's awesome to be on the road now. Moving is stressful, definitely, boxes and things like that. But I mean, all good problems, champagne problems, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, past couple months have just been like pretty wild.
Yeah.
There was a lot in there too that you left out, as far as like went to Greece and played some shows in Greece, got in a car accident.
Oh my God.
And yeah, a bunch of stuff. Yeah.
When getting in a car accident is like a footnote detail of all the things that have happened to you, then you know a lot is happening.
Yes, yeah.
You seem like the kind of person who's always writing and you're always documenting and listening to these songs sometimes. It is kind of like listening to journal entries in a way. How does it feel right now when you have all of this new stuff happening to go back and play these songs live and talk about them and revisit them?
I mean, in ways like, the kind of the delay that happened between when this record was recorded and when it came out, because it was recorded in February of 2023 and it's obviously come out in February of 2024. Having that little bit of delay has been both equally frustrating and then also kind of a blessing in that way, because like I have a really hard time understanding like what I've written or like, you know, immediately, like, and you're often tasked with that right out the gates of like, well, what does that song mean? And you're like, I don't know, I just wrote it, it felt good, you know? So having like a year in between, does it give you at least a little bit of perspective to look back and be like, okay, well, that's where my headspace was, because you're a little detached from it, you know? So that helps a little bit, but it feels awesome to be out like sharing the songs with people, and especially to be playing shows and have people like sing along, because now they know the songs, and that's cool.
Yeah. I'm talking to Laura Jane Grace. The new album is called Hole in My Head. There's so much to talk about. So let's start at the beginning, I guess, in a way. It's the oldest song that you wrote for this album. It's called Mercenary. It's sort of an ending and a beginning. Even though it was the oldest song, it was sort of finished after you'd already wrapped in the studio and you sent it to Matt Patton of Drive-By Truckers, who plays on the record. People who just heard me say that might think Matt Patton, Drive-By Truckers, the kind of music they're known for might not seem like it is that related to the kind of music that you're known for. So how did you and Matt end up working together?
Well, I think the relationship is it's good music.
That's,
you know,
true.
Matt
okay.
plays good music.
Good
I like
point.
To think I play good music. So there we aligned, you know? yeah, I mean, it was Mercenary came together after the fact in that, like, it was the first song written of the batch. And it was a song that I had originally brought to Against Me in probably 2018 or 2019, and just went over like a turd in a swimming pool. Like,
why?
People, I don't know. It was just what, like, sometimes that happens with bands. Like, you bring a song to the band and it doesn't click, right? And, you know, at the time when I brought it to it, like, the structure was a little different and like some of the lyrics were different, and I just kept refining and kept refining. And like, really, it was the chorus that I kept like just like trying to get to a place where I felt good about it. And then it finally clicked. And I really do believe, like, oftentimes, yeah, first instinct, you get into a studio, first take, you know, like that's going to be the one, right? Sometimes. And like, if you're feeling it, like, you want it to hit immediately. Like, I crave immediacy, right? But sometimes, like, it does behoove you to spend time on a song and to like, kind of like, I don't know, cut it from stone.
Yeah. Well, let's take a listen to the live version of Mercenary. This is Laura Jane Grace on World Cafe.
Gouge the mouth.
Laura Jane Grace with Mercenary from her new album, Hole in My Head, recorded live for the World Cafe. Laura Jane Grace is my guest today. I'm Raina Duris. So you've got that more kind of roots rock-leaning song on the album, but you also kept your punk roots, and I want to talk about
the
song.
Wait, which is the roots rock-leaning song?
Roots rock, and then punk roots. Oh, well, it's good. I think Mercenary has, like, that Matt Patton, drive-by truckers sort of feel. You can feel it, especially once you know the story behind the song a little bit.
I heard someone describe it as Southern Gothic, and I was like, oh, that's cool.
That sounds cooler.
Yeah.
Okay, so we'll say that. Southern Gothic. But I do want to talk about the song Punk Rock in Basements.
Cool.
What had you looking back at basement shows with such fondness?
Well, I don't know. I've always like seen a certain amount of irony in being an artist that's so heavily associated with playing basement shows. And like, I've played a ton of basement shows, but my band started in Florida and there aren't basements in Florida because the water level's too high, right? So we were a band that like, we played a lot of garages when we were first starting out, but then we became known as a basement punk band, right? So that's always been kind of funny. But I don't know, like that song kind of like came really easily and without much thought, but I just like coming out of the pandemic specifically, like the idea of like being in like enclosed spaces with lots of people seemed kind of perverse, right? Mm. Like breathing people's breath and
it's
feeling
like a basement,
spit on you.
Yeah. No windows,
totally.
No airflow at
and
all.
And there were shows like that back in the day where I remember where it was just like, you know, like just like everyone is covered in sweat and it's bodies on bodies, you know? And the idea of that after a year and a half of the pandemic seemed just like insane, right? But I craved it, I missed it. And I don't know, like, at the time, I was kind of listening to stuff like Dion and like The Wanderer or Runaround Sioux, and like the idea of like people like singing in a circle, like something about that, like I just kind of gravitated to, and I don't know, that song came from it.
Yeah, there's the line, see the past appearing, don't it make you wonder if you're coming or you're leaving? See the past repeating, don't it make you wonder if you're following or leading? And I really felt like that's kind of relatable for a lot, like anyone, whether you're in a music scene or whatever, as you're getting older, starting to look back on those things. Could you talk about that?
Yeah, I think that like really that like that it's not really a proper chorus, right? But it is kind of the chorus of the song, but it's definitely the actual meaning of the song. And like, you know, every generation that comes up thinks they're like reinventing the wheel. And as you get older, sometimes that can be a little intimidating because you look at the like the younger kids who are doing it and you're like, oh, I'm old, maybe I'm out of touch or something like that. But like you'll have those moments where you're like, you aren't doing anything different. Like, you know, like I did this before too. Like you may think you are, but you're not. It's all been done before, right?
Yeah.
And I think it's important to remember that.
Yeah.
You know?
Here's Punk Rock in Basements from Bull Cafe.
Punk rock in basements, punk rock in basements. That's where we made it. That's where we used to be, and so never hear the microphone, but we knew every single word, way, way loud. See the past appearing, gonna make you wonder if you're coming or you're leaving, way, way loud. See the past repeating, gonna make you wonder if you're following or leading. Yeah, we were loud in the crowd, we were
Laura Jane Grace, Punk Rock in Basements. That's from the album Hole in My Head. It's a new album. Hole in My Head, the title.
Yeah.
Also the title of the opening track. You sing, I need a hole in my head. That phrase came from something that your kid said to you a while back that really stuck with you. Could you tell us about that?
Yeah, sure. I mean, I'll go ahead and talk about it, even though it makes me highly uncomfortable. In 2018, I had a surgery where they cut the back of my head open and peeled my face off. And then they like cut out the center of my forehead, bone cemented it back in and put a piece of metal over there, right? And when I was explaining to my daughter what I was going through, they were like, so you want a hole in your head? And I was like, yeah, I guess I do. And they're like, well, that's what you get. You get a hole in your head. So it kind of haunts me to this day.
Yeah.
But that's where the title came from. It kind of stuck with me. When your young kid is trying to understand why you're going through something, and they kind of pointed out plainly to you what you're actually doing is putting a hole in your head.
Mm-hmm. You know, I think when I first heard the term hole in your head, hole in my head, there are two things I thought of. I thought of trepanning.
Trepanation. Uh-huh.
Where they would literally like drill a hole or remove part of your head.
Become permanently high.
Yeah. It's an ancient surgical technique. One of
Have
the
you
oldest.
Have you read Borehole?
I have not.
There's this memoir by this, I forget the person's name, but it's called Borehole, and it's a memoir of a guy who did self-trepanation, right? And they lived, obviously, because they wrote the memoir, but they were like one of the first psychedelic enthusiasts in Ibiza. And they wanted to become permanently high, so they drilled a hole in their head.
Did it work?
I think so. Yeah. That's it. I mean, the memoir says so. Yeah.
Okay. I wrote down borehole. I'm going to read that. That's my next thing on my reading list. The other thing I thought of is the phrase, oh, I need that. Like I need a hole in my head.
Sure. Yeah.
In your case, it wasn't because of something that you didn't want. It was because of something you did want. Facial feminization surgery. You sing in this song. There's this line where you say, like, you can try to outrun all the pain you come from. That would be a real mistake. You could learn to feel less. That would be a real bore. Now I'm wondering, is bore wordplay on that borehole?
Oh, that does work, doesn't it? That was subconscious, but I'll take it. Yeah.
you sing about how you could outrun these things that hurt or the pain that you feel. You ultimately seem, in the lyrics, to decide not to do that. Mm-hmm. Why is it important to you to keep those feelings with you?
Because they make you who you are, right? You know, and like, I don't know. Sometimes you can compromise yourself for other people, right? But that doesn't ever really work. So, like, I think it's important to just be who you are, ultimately, and to have self-acceptance, even if that means accepting that there are things that are flawed about you. Mm-hmm.
Live for the World Cafe, this is Hole in My Head from Laura Jane Grace. On World Cafe, Laura Jane Grace with the title track to her new album, Hole in My Head. She performed that live for the show. She's here with me today. I'm Raina Duris. Staying on the topic, I guess, of your head. What a transition. You got your head tattooed in 2022.
Yes.
And since it's radio and people can't see you, if they haven't seen you before, I should say you have many, many tattoos. What was the first one you ever got?
My first tattoo ever was a stick and poke tattoo of a Crass logo on my ankle here. Aww. But it's been covered up and then covered up and then covered up and covered up again. So,
what is it right now? What's it currently?
All black.
Okay.
I just have completely blacked out legs. So, yeah.
The tattoo that you got on your head a couple of years ago is the final one in a series of tattoos you've gotten over the last decade or so from a master Japanese tattoo artist named Gakin. Could you tell us about Gakin and his work?
Sure, yeah. So I had like a suicidal nervous breakdown in 2013 and moved to Chicago. And at the time, like I needed something to focus on besides music, right? So I was like, I'll focus on getting tattooed. And the idea of being hurt brutally by somebody seemed appealing. So found this tattoo studio in Logan Square called Butterfat. And there was these two Japanese artists that are doing guest spots there. One of them was named Kenji Aoki. So I booked time with Kenji and went in to get my feet tattooed. And while I was getting the first one done, Gakin was there as well. So met them. And Kenji and Gakin like knew each other from Japan. But really weren't like friends yet or whatever. And so over like 3 days, Kenji finished my feet. And then I was like, well, I want to get tattooed by Kakin as well. So I booked time with Kakin, but went to Kyoto for that. And then like, we just like kind of like got along together and like hit it off. And I wanted them to tattoo my whole body. So I really wanted like to do the traditional bodysuit. And we started on that. And we just would every couple months get together wherever in the world made sense. I went over to Japan probably like 7-8 times, tattooed in LA, tattooed in San Francisco, tattooed in Amsterdam, in Berlin, and then New York. And sometimes it was, you know, like one-on-one with Kenji or Gakin, and other times it was both of them tattooing me at the same time. And then the last step of it was my head, like literally started at my feet and worked all the way up.
When you say traditional bodysuit, what does that mean?
Like a completely connected bodysuit.
Okay.
So like from my feet, the tattoos do not stop until the top of my head. Like the, I ultimately like I failed the test is like kind of how I feel about it. Cause you can see on my knee where I was like, nope, I'm done. I can't anymore.
That's like, it's amazing that after all that, there was actually a spot where you're like, oh, I can't do
it. Yeah, and it wasn't the pain either. That like, they put the numbing cream on me, and something about the way it felt on my knee, specifically in the spot where like you do the reflex thing and your leg will kick out, it just felt so weird not being able to feel the pain, but being able to feel inside of my knee moving
it's
around.
It's worse.
Yeah, and I couldn't sit still for it.
Yeah.
And so I kind of remain unfinished in that way, but I still wanted to get my head tattooed. So I was over in Europe doing a tour, and Gakin was tattooing in Amsterdam, and so I hit them up and I was like, hey, will you do my head? Like, will you tattoo my head like we planned? And he had time, so I went there and I shaved my head and he tattooed me for a couple days. And at the end of the session, he gave me a guitar. And it was a guitar that he had hand-painted, all these like beautiful swirling designs all over it. And I don't know, for me, it was like a real, like, it was significant in that it felt like, and this is the end.
Yeah.
Here is a gift, this is the end. Our paths are going to go different directions now. I immediately took the guitar back to my hotel room and I wrote the song Birds Talk Too. And a lot of the song is just descriptives of Amsterdam, impressionistic descriptives, like only planes flying out of Schiphol are higher than I am. Schiphol is the airport in Amsterdam. They're out of Champagne Haze at Rookies. Rookies is my favorite little cafe there, and Champagne Haze is my favorite strain. Vondelpark is like my favorite park in the world, and just going there and sitting with your feet or with your shoes off in the grass. Like the original lyric was go outside and ground myself, not right. Go outside and find myself. So like, you know, sometimes it's important to just go outside and ground yourself, take off your feet or take off your socks and shoes and put them in the grass, you know, your feet in the grass. But I was like literally going down the elevator in the hotel in George Harrison's, I Got My Mind Set on You was playing. And,
Let's go back for 1 second. I can't see your tattoo on your head. Really? I can sort of see a bit of it right now.
That should have been the part you also added in for people since it was radio. Like, and for those listening, you also can't see the tattoos on my head anyways, because I have hair again.
Your hair has grown back. Could you tell us what it looks like?
Yeah. It was kind of funny the way it worked out actually. Cause I like having birds tattooed on me. Like I like crows and ravens and stuff, right?
Why do you think you like having birds tattooed on you?
I don't know. Put a bird on it, right? It's just something I knew I wanted from like a very young age, right? And I also, one of the reasons I really like Akina and Kenji is because like, you know, there's a language barrier definitely there. Like Kenji spoke very little English. So like just going to them and putting your trust in them of like tattoo, whatever. But, when I went to see Gakin about my head, he was like, okay, well, what do you want to do? Do you have any ideas like of specific bird positionings and stuff? And I had a picture of a dead bird on my phone that I had just taken on the street. So I showed him that and he drew the same exact bird on my head. Cause he does everything freestyle. It's not like a stencil that he puts on.
He
like draws it on you and then tattoos it. And so I have a picture or I have a tattoo of a dead bird on top of my head that I saw on a sidewalk.
And so the guitar that he gave you, you know, you wrote the song on it. Does that happen to you often where a particular piece of gear or guitar will kind of like give you a song?
100%. And I believe strongly in that, like being a thing where like, I think guitars have souls, 100%, right? And I think sometimes like, you know, like the energy between you and an instrument won't be right. Maybe you're not getting along or something like that, right? But maybe like it'll come around, or maybe it'll like for instance, I have the Rickenbacker that I played for this session, and I haven't played that guitar on a couple tours, and only on a whim did I bring it out for like practice or whatever for this tour. But it was clear to me when I started playing it, I was like, oh, this guitar wants to go on this tour. It's like being extra in tune for me, and it's like cooperating. Whereas a couple months ago, I'd maybe tried to play it and it wasn't, you know? But I think that some song, like some guitars have songs in them that you wouldn't get out of another guitar, that it just like resonates with you a certain way.
Oh, I love that so much. Well, we're going to hear Bert's talk too. Is there anything else that you'd like to say about it before we hear it?
No, I think that's it.
Okay. This is Bert's talk too, live for the World Cafe. It's Laura Jane Grace. To Laura Jane Grace performing live for the World Cafe. I am going to finish things off. You played an extra song for us today.
Yeah.
Against Me's Baby, I'm an Anarchist, which was a surprise. We did not know you were going to do that today. Why did you choose to bring up Baby, I'm an Anarchist?
Well, I mean, first and foremost, because it was fun. Baby, I'm an Anarchist is a song that we've been playing in the set every night, and it's been really fun to sing it with Paris, so I thought it'd be cool to do it here.
Even if you haven't heard this song before, I feel like you'll be singing along with it by the end of it. It's cool. That catchy. Maybe I'm an Anarchist. Laura Jane Grace on World Cafe.
Give you
That was Baby, I'm an Anarchist from Laura Jane Grace, playing an Against Me song. And Laura Jane Grace has been my guest today on the show. New album is called Hole in My Head. Laura Jane Grace, thank you so much for being here.
Thank you for having me.
Hey, this is World Cafe. I'm Rena Duras. Thanks for listening to our session with Laura Jane Grace. She performed one more song we're sharing as a web-only bonus track, another one from her new album, Hole in My Head. Here's Give Up the Ghost, live for the World Cafe. Performed live for the World Cafe. That was Give Up the Ghost from Laura Jane Grace. I'm Raina Duras. Thanks for listening to World Cafe.
In this country, some truths aren't self-evident. In NPR's Black Stories, Black Truths, a collection of stories as wide-ranging and real as the people who tell them, we celebrate the Black experience for all its soul and richness. Search NPR Black Stories, Black Truths wherever you get podcasts.
Support for NPR and the following message come from IXL Online. Is your child asking questions on their homework you don't feel equipped to answer? IXL Learning uses advanced algorithms to give the right help to each kid, no matter the age or personality. One subscription gets you everything. One site for all the kids in your home, pre-K to 12th grade. Make an impact on your child's learning. Get IXL now. And NPR listeners can get an exclusive 20% off IXL membership when they sign up today at IXL.com/NPR. This message comes from NPR sponsor Mint Mobile. From the gas pump to the grocery store, inflation is everywhere. So Mint Mobile is offering premium wireless starting at just $15 a month. To get your new phone plan for just $15, go to mintmobile.com/switch.